Thank you for joining us on this teaching of God's Laws for Business. Today, we're covering part two of the Law of Growing Step by Step. Today's lesson is primarily a story about Richard and his food business, how he started with a food cart and he got into his first restaurant, and how he grew too fast and how he was able to salvage what could have been a total disaster. The smell of grilled meat and the sound of people chatting, the sight of tables full of smiling diners, this was his dream. Often, while prepping food in his small kitchen at his home, Richard's mind would drift off and paint the picture of his desired future to own his big restaurant. At present, Richard had a food cart in the city center. It was just a box on two wheels. Far from being a real restaurant, he thought, each day he could cook everything at home and then carry it to his food cart. There were some real advantages to this current system. His captive audience at home would help him test, refine, and develop new and great recipes. He had figured out many of God's laws for business on his own, performing low-cost experiments to figure out what would sell best, trying new flavor combinations, establishing a high level of quality, and implementing a few simple systems to make his recipes easy to replicate every day so they would be the same. He had served his customers faithfully for a long time now, learning their names, a little about their families, developing trust and real relationships with them. A number of them came to his corner stall nearly every day for their lunch. And they would often ask this, "Richard, when are you going to turn this into a real restaurant?" He wanted a restaurant that was fit for his high quality of food, one with new tables, chairs, and silverware. He wanted to move his operations out of his cramped home kitchen and into a spacious professional kitchen. He would need to hire a bunch of employees, some waiters, some hostesses to seat everyone, an assistant chef, a busboy, people to wash dishes, one runner for the food, and probably one or two other people to float around the restaurant and to just cover stations when they got extra busy. He would need to buy a pallet or two of bottled soda to sell, some napkins, towels, and wow, a lot of stuff. But he had been to so many restaurants that were busy even though their food was half as good as his. He knew that he could make it happen, and he started to calculate the cost of everything needed to open his new restaurant. Soon after, he was speaking with one of his regular customers, and he learned that that customer worked at a bank. This might be the ticket to make his dream restaurant come alive. Richard applied for a loan, and to his surprise, it was approved. The interest rate seemed rather high, but his hesitation was quickly washed away as wave after wave of excitement poured over him. He was going to have a restaurant, his very own restaurant, the one that he had dreamed about for so many years. With this new loan, Richard wasted no time, and he sprang into action, renting a space. It was beautiful, and buying everything he needed. He was so excited to tell his family, friends, and customers about his big new restaurant. Wow, he was eager to hire people and start training his team. He could not wait to put the open sign right there in the window, ready for everyone to see. Opening day was a mess, a beautiful mess, though. During the lunch rush, every table was full of smiling diners. His dream was coming true. But it did not last. You see, the lunch crowds were large, but after the lunch rush, the tables were nearly empty, and his team outnumbered the diners. A lot more people walking around that's wanting a paycheck than that were eating in his restaurant ready to pay. Each week, he was using some of the loan to pay his employees, believing that the afternoon and dinner crowds would eventually catch up with the lunch rush. Someone had told him to not expect any profit for the first few weeks, and he clung on to that idea. Week after week, he continued to use his loan to pay his employees until it was all gone. The afternoon and dinner traffic slowly grew, but not as quickly as he needed to pay everyone each week. Rent was coming due, and he still owed the restaurant supply store money. And on top of this, he still needed to buy food every day for the menu items. He had to reduce costs somewhere and landed on the hard truth that he needed to reduce the size of his team. This was a huge punch in the stomach to Richard. His restaurant staff and team were a badge of honor, a visible representation of success for him. Sadly, he had to fire some of the people. Given the fact that he had no money left, he knew that he would have to make it work as few of people as possible. He realized that he could come early and stay a little later in order to prep the food for the next day. Instead of having a handful of waiters, waitresses, busboys, and runners, he would make the restaurant more self-served. The customers would place their order at the main register, get their own food from the kitchen window, and bus their own tables after they were done. He had to be creative, but he was able to figure out how to run everything with just his own family. It would be a lot of hard work, but he knew that he could make it work for a season. He had to make it work. He had no choice. Richard and his wife turned into machines. Out of necessity, they developed a number of systems to streamline everything from the food prep to cooking to taking orders. In the lull between lunch and dinner, he and his wife would bus the tables and speed clean the dining area. Not only did they own the restaurant, but he was now the busboy, the dishwasher, the chef, the head waiter, almost anything that needed to be done. After his kids finished their schoolwork, they would join in and help wash some dishes. Richard and his family were completely exhausted after the first week, but they got a boost of energy when they were able to pay the restaurant supply bill and a large portion of the rent. They were going to make it. Hallelujah! Each week, the revenue continued to grow in small but steady amounts. They were much more diligent to keep a tight hold on their money, especially because of everything they had gone through. They kept experimenting and developing systems to save time and money. Eventually, they got so busy and had enough revenue that they decided to hire one part-time employee for their lunch crowd. That was all. Just one part-time helper. They had their systems down so well that the new part-time employee was doing more work than what two full-time employees had done when they first opened. They had learned that making a huge leap with their business could kill it, and it nearly did. Thankfully, through making some tough decisions and pushing through days of hard work, they were able to see the long-lasting fruit of growing step by step. Wasn't that a great story? But I hate to tell you, I have seen this same scenario, this same situation, repeated over and over again. People with energy, zeal, excitement, want to own their business so bad, and they want it to be so big, so fast, that they make this mistake of growing by leaps, by jumps, not growing step by step. You see, I have many banker friends through my life, and I ask them, what causes businesses to fail? Why do some businesses not make it? And the common answer is this. They start too big and they grow too fast. A huge number of businesses would still be alive and running today if they would have had the discipline to grow step by step instead of getting a big bank loan. Think of it this way. Your business is like an engine, and getting a loan is like getting a large can of gasoline or petroleum to make your engine run well. But if your engine and all of its running systems are running well, all in tune and working well together, then you will know exactly where to pour the gasoline into the engine, and then it will help the engine of your business to go far and have some more power like it's designed to have. But, and this is what we've seen with too many people, if the system in your engines are not running correctly, if it is broken and leaking gasoline or oil, or you're missing parts, and you add more gasoline, it can end up in disaster. It can blow up, catch on fire, or burn everything down easily. Gasoline is dangerous in that situation. It would have been better if you would have spent your time and energy fixing the broken systems in your engine first. The choice is yours. Many people think that bigger is always better, but bigger is not always better. Especially if you don't know how to handle the business at that size. Growing step by step allows you to learn essential lessons that will help you grow your business to the next level in a solid way. Well, let's take action on what we've learned. Let's learn from Richard's story. In your group, are you as an individual? Let's make a plan. What is the next step for you? If I was someone that did not have a business, I would first make a solid effort to be a great employee working for someone else. I would look diligently to find an opportunity to learn how business works while working for someone else. You're gaining your experience, and you're also learning from the experience of others. Now, while working for someone else, I would form my idea. How can I make a business work? And start right now. Not big, start so small you're working from your house and you're working with what you have without borrowing any money. And then start the process of growing step by step by step. Your customer base will push you to the next level and God will lead you. The Spirit of God is there and ready and able to lead you, but only if you're following God according to His plan. That's what we're presenting. You can't go out on your own and hope that you're just going to work out. So, what is the next step for you? Think about it. Write it down. It needs to be small, something you can do in the next few days. If you are unsure, go back through the previous lessons of God's Laws for Business and examine them. Is your own mindset tuned in to the three main points outlined in the introductory lesson of God's Laws for Business? Have you started on your journey using what God has given you right where you are, which was the first law? Or maybe the next small step for your business needs to be in researching and experimenting as we have learned about in the second law. Or maybe your next step needs to be improving your quality like you learned in the third law. Maybe you need to go back to the law number 4 and revisit how to develop your customer base. And I would say that all of us could create a good system or two in our daily operations, like we learned in the fifth law. Somewhere in there is your next step. It does not include getting a loan. It most likely includes working hard and learning from your experiences and the experiences of others, and asking God to help you. We know that you can do this. These laws work no matter where you are, from inside of a refugee camp, to the bush, or to your capital city. It doesn't matter where you are. If you apply these laws, like a chain, they will pull you into the next level that God is waiting for you. Remember, your actions today determine what tomorrow becomes. God's laws for business will work for you. Take the step. Grow in steps. Don't leap into a new enterprise or business ownership. Well, thanks for being a part of Inspiring Better Business on these lessons of God's Laws for Business of growing step by step.